is this about?
It's Buff Bagwell.
Looking for his mother, Judy Bagwell.
He's looking for mommy. Where's mommy?
Remember, later on in this telecast, the match is called Judy Bagwell on a pole. As a matter of fact, guess what? It's Judy Bagwell on a pole.
It's going to be great. Positively Canyon. And by the way, the great new t-shirts are out right now. PCK, Positively Canyon t-shirts. We have got to be very careful about putting Judy Bagwell on a pole. Mike also might peek up her shorts.
Wait a minute. What in the world is... It's not Judy Bagwell on a pole. It looks like Judy Bagwell on a forklift to me.
A forklift.
Get ready to go inside the ropes like you've never been before and watch the most famous and infamous matches in wrestling history along with legends of the squared circle. Welcome to the first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Payoff.
Welcome to episode number 2 of The Payoff. This is Tom Healy, and I am joined by my co-host, Jeffrey Ryan. Jeff, we're back. We weren't canceled. How about this first week we've had here at The Payoff?
Yeah, I think to say this was a crazy week for The Payoff would be an understatement. Big things are happening. I couldn't be more excited to bring you week 2's episode. We love doing this, but to see the reaction that we got from people, just Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, you name it, social media, it's just been overwhelming, the positivity that we've seen coming from launching.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can't say it enough, but thank you to everyone that's listening. Thank you to everyone that's supporting the show. It really does mean a lot to us. You know, even my wife said, hey, that didn't suck. And then my mom, she said she was proud, but I think even if it did suck, she still would have said that. But I think the coolest part for us was just some of these random Apple podcast reviews and Reddit posts and some things we saw on social media where people are finding out about us. They're enjoying it. They're saying great things. They're enjoying some of the things that we're doing. They like that it's a new concept. So that stuff means a lot to us. You know, that gives us the fuel to keep working, to keep making it better. And we genuinely do appreciate that. You know, last week we had Vicky Guerrero on. She made some news with some different things she said, some different quotes that made it out there. It was great seeing those, because that's one of the things we're trying to do, is we're trying to give you, in a unique format, new and noteworthy things. And it seemed like she was definitely able to do that. And we hope that that's the case every single week. So the biggest ways you can help us out, number one, hit subscribe. Number two, give us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to this on. And number three, tell your friends. We are at Payoff Pod on Twitter and Instagram. That's at Payoff Pod. And on Twitter, I'm at Payoff Tom and Jeff's at Payoff Jeff. All that stuff, the reviews, the sharing, the linking up with us on social media, it makes a huge difference as we really get this thing rolling. Jeff, anything you want to remind everyone of?
Yeah, you know, just like we said last week, that we wanted to provide a different type of wrestling podcast. We're not going to be reviewing every weekly episode of every promotion that's out there. We don't want to, you know, have a lot of filler either. We want to get right into the action and kind of tell you what was happening. So, you know, there's a lot of podcasts out there, but we just really felt that this was an untapped potential and market for hearing from superstars and watching matches with them. You know, over the years, some podcasters have done, you know, something close, but not weekly, not breaking it down like we do, which is why we are happy to be the first podcast in the world to bring you these stories and insight in this format. So here's how we will bring it to you every Monday. Part one, the build. The build is Tom and myself laying the groundwork so that you have some context on the significance of the match and what was going on in the wrestling business. Whether the build was only a week or developed over a year, years, whatever it might be, we want everyone to know what was happening at that time. Part two, the payoff. The payoff is where we watch a match along with someone. We previously brought you Vicky Guerrero. This week, the one and only Buff Bagwell. You know, we are bringing you the superstars and legends that have a great story to tell surrounding a match. You can even watch along on the WWE Network. We will always give you a timestamp to help out. But even if you can't watch, we will always provide our listeners with something that can be enjoyed in the car, at the gym, at the office, wherever you're listening. Part three, the aftermath. The aftermath is where we break down the outcome of the match and whether did it ripple through the wrestling universe? Was that the end of it and it just fizzled out? You know, maybe we're still talking about it 19 years later. Who knows? We're excited about it. And then after that, we want to give you some reviews from the experts. And then we want to share our personal thoughts too by ranking the payoff. So with that out of the way, Tom, what do you have to share?
Well, remember our rules, right? No current product talk. We're going to try and have fun and bring you fresh and unique information every week. And we just want this to be a really fun experience for everyone. So with that being said, let's get into it. One of the things we want to share every week is why we chose the match. So episode one, we gave you a famous matchup. It was a classic. It was fantastic. The payoff was incredible. So episode two, we figured, we'll throw in an infamous one. So a little peek behind the curtain here at the payoff is we've already recorded a ton of matches with Legends of the Squared Circle, and we're doing more every single week. So we're trying to build up a really strong library of matches, and then we want to hit you with those episodes at the right time. So some of it may be on based on current events, some of it may be based on industry anniversaries within the industry, but we want to give you really interesting stuff on a weekly basis. So we want to bounce around between different promotions, different types of matches, newer ones, older ones, some from wrestlers, some from managers, some from others in the industry, right? So we want it to just be a variety where every Sunday when we tease the episode and every Monday when we release the episode, you're like, yeah, that's pretty cool. That's something different. So we want to give you a little bit of everything. So, you know, we chose this one again. It's an infamous one. We're going to have some fun with it. And, you know, every week we want to give you something that you're really going to enjoy. Jeff, why did you think this would be such a great second episode for the payoff?
Well, for starters, we're almost about a month out from the anniversary of this match. So we're creeping up on 19 years since this match happened. And I think once we knew that Vicky Guerrero talking about Eddie versus Brock would be, you know, episode one, in my mind, we had no other choice for episode two because everything about this match is just crazy. I was super excited to hear from Buff about this one. And so with that, let's get to the build.
All right, time for business, the build. Let's set the stage. WCW, New Blood Rising 2000. We have Buff Bagwell versus Canyon with Judy Bagwell on a pole. Let me repeat that. Buff Bagwell's mother, Judy Bagwell, is on a pole. The show took place August 13th, 2000. The name New Blood comes from a WCW faction, which of course dissolved before this pay-per-view took place. That's WCW in 2000 for you. Originated in Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada, the Coliseum. It drew 5,300 paid for a gate of 190,000. If you remember, this is actually what used to be the old Road Wild or Hog Wild pay-per-view in WCW, which was in Sturgis, and it was part of a motorcycle rally. So this is part of WCW's effort to rebrand these pay-per-views. Now, some of you may remember WCW really, really well at this era. Some of you may not remember WCW in 2000 that well. So let me just give you an idea of what the lay of the land is. This is an era where WCW is trying to stop the bleeding. All right. They're trying to figure out, do we cut top talent to save money? Do we dissolve the company? Do we try and sell it? You know, they're considering all kinds of different things because the Time Warner folks really didn't want this massive financial loss on their books as they prepared for the America Online merger. We obviously know that WCW would die less than a year after this show took place. What's crazy is WCW at this point was on pace to lose $80 million in 2000. Let me say that again, $80 million loss in 2000. Unbelievable. Just so the company's performing horribly. Now, with all this being said, Jeff, how did we get to Buff Bagwell versus Canyon with Buff's mom, Judy, being tied to a damn forklift? And really what I'm looking for here is a more detailed response than because Vince Russo thought it was a good idea. So Jeff, what do you have for us?
Yeah, well, Vince Russo did think it was a good idea, but even with that, so let's start with Buff was dealing with some personal issues here. You know, he was going through the legal system, actually. He had somewhat of an altercation between him and a WCW crew member backstage. And so this actually led to him getting an actual 30-day suspension, not a story 30-day suspension. In addition to that, he was also stripped of the tag team titles with his partner, Shane Douglas. About a month later, that July, it was Bash at the Beach. Buff was actually, or he had the opportunity to win the tag titles back with Shane, but weren't able to do it. Shane actually kind of turned on Buff a little bit. They went their separate ways. And so then after that, Buff was feuding with Chris Kanyon, which is when all of this started. Kanyon was playing the mind games. He was bothering him in backstage segments. And then the big piece of this is when he started really, we'll say, harassing Judy Bagwell. Tom, I know you were shockingly motivated and watched the Go Home Monday Nitro, where they give us a little bit more. I'll let you talk about that in a minute. But, you know, the rumors were out there that prior to, you know, this pay-per-view, that there was an all-talent meeting with all of the wrestlers, backstage people, and Turner executives. They really just shared the dire situation of WCW and laid out a couple different things. You know, the story always says that Tuesday Thunder was done. That was it. Whether it was ever that, after that, there would be no more. You know, shows that were going to be taped other days would now be taped after Nitro, just to kind of help with the filming schedule because it was just difficult. And then the talent was actually looking at some stricter policies just along with their contracts, be it from fines to potential firings if they didn't show up like they were supposed to or show up on time or whatever it might have been, really cracking down on what was happening. And so, Tom, I know you enjoyed your time watching that Nitro. So do you want to share with us your thoughts?
You know, that's complete BS. So look, I'm trying to take one for the team here, Jeff, and you're making fun of me. You know, I took the time.
Thank you, buddy.
I took the time to actually watch the Go Home show of Nitro on the WWE Network leading up to New Blood Rising. Okay. Man, WCW in this time frame was just, it was a tough watch. So the Thunder that actually took place on the network isn't up on the network yet, but I'm sure that when they do put those episodes, it's really going to be a major boost to subscription. So I did watch the Go Home Nitro. It's 90 minutes. I'm never going to get back in my life. I got to tell you, it is really hard for me to understand how people paid $30 at this time to order a WCW pay-per-view. I'm assuming that's about what it was, $30. I mean, people must have just really hated their money or something. One little fun note from watching the show was there was a Mean Gene run-in where he got a good low blow on Kanyon. That was fun. Just something completely random, but really caught my attention and really just frames WCW at this time is, you know, they were talking about Vince Russo and they were getting ready to do a Vince Russo sit-down interview and they were trying to say how it was a shoot and all this stuff. They introduced Vince Russo, and I quote, "the guy who handles creative for WCW." I mean, just slap us up on the face harder until it's all fake, right? Like, I mean, it's just so ridiculous. Like, hey, you dumb marks, it's a big work. It just seems so ridiculous. And then during this interview, he's sitting there saying that the finish for the main event on Sunday will definitely be what's best for business. So just really stupid stuff happening. If you look at the talent roster that was there, you've got some really good talent, a variety of talent. The production values through WCW were really strong, well lit, good crowd audience, you know, sound. I mean, it was, you know, it should have been a good product, but the storylines were horrible at this time. So I'm done complaining. Here we go. Now's your opportunity. Log into the WWE Network and go to WCW New Blood Rising 2000. When we come back from break, we're going to be at the 27-minute mark on the nose of this show if you want to watch this infamous match along with Buff. Now, if you don't, or you're in the car, or you're at the office, or you're working out at the gym, not a big deal, but for those of you that want to watch it live with Buff, 27 minutes, WCW New Blood Rising 2000. So here we go. It's time for the payoff. All right, we are here with the one and only Buff Bagwell versus Canyon. Judy Bagwell on a pole match at New Blood Rising 2000. Buff, it's great to have you here. First thing I got to ask you, how was it working with your mom on national television with an international audience?
It was really cool. It was something that Rick Steiner thought of. Rick Steiner completely thought of the whole deal, and he came up with it on when I returned back to Columbia is where I broke my neck originally. So his idea was to involve my mom. I don't know where he came up with it, why he came up with it, but Rick Steiner came up with it. And he had my mom come out and be the, you know, hey, you're a bag wool, you know, bag wools don't do this. I'm, you know, wasn't raised that way, you know. And man, she was going on, she was getting ready to go on Nitro, bro, or Thunder One. And was red and one of the hottest shows on television. So she lost her game face. And I said, baby, I go, you got to come back. I said, you got to come back. I said, I'm losing you. I'm losing you. So we got in the ring and she wasn't getting the ring. So finally, I couldn't get her to turn it on. You know, I couldn't get her to do it. And finally, I went, you know what? Without me, you couldn't even eat. That was about three quarters of the truth anyway, because I did pay the bills back then. And so it hit home, and here come Mama. Mama come in, and I told her to leave Steiner alone. If you watch it back, Steiner nearly breaks her arm. Steiner grabs her arm and bends it backwards, and she was totally leaving alone. Rick Scotty was dead against this, dead against all of it. Woman in the ring was the most unnecessary thing in the world. It didn't happen back then, bro. You don't know girls against girls during this show. There's not.
Was it tough getting your mom on board to do this? Or once she got started, she was having
fun? No, man. She was totally in to the point she was like black and blue. I can't read it. It's like her knees are black and blue. And she was a 60-year-old woman taking diamond cutters with pads and all that stuff. But she's still taking them, you know? And falling correctly, and had the stunt man working with us, and she loved it, you know. And I stayed quiet for a long time, and then we went to a toy convention, and they were like, it was me, Goldberg, and Nash speaking for the entire company of what to do about our toys to make them sell more. So they went, you know, and when I spoke, I said, you know, okay, we're here. And they said, when can we start selling Judy Bagwell t-shirts? And I said, well, that's a question I'm Des, Eric. Michelle, I'm not quite sure. And the next one was about Judy. And the next one was about Judy. I said, does anybody have any questions for me? I said, because she did that one full out of the year thing in Columbia, South Carolina, and she got over them. But then I finally built it up to we had leverage. And, you know, and it was good leverage because we worked hard for that leverage. She busted her butt for it. And I sat with Eric. And the entire flight back to like a big Vancouver, right toward the end. And that may have been our last pay-per-view. It was Vancouver, Canada. And this is it. Matter of fact, this is the Vancouver, Canada match. But when we came home from this, I had a talk about our contract. Because now we've got a pay-per-view for you. We've, you know, nobody's asking for checks here, but we gotta do something. You know, we gotta put something down on paper. So got it all worked out, everything, and she landed from that flight with appendicitis. Oh. Landed from it. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. No, not now. So yeah, she landed, sick as a dog. I never forget it. We landed the T concourse, right to a wheelchair, right to the car, right to the hospital, appendicitis. So the next interview you see is me or the hospital or me and Scotty beat her up. So how close, but yet so far away, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, us. Canyon was a hell of a worker, man.
Yeah, he really was.
Yeah, he really was. I mean, see how perfect that backdrop was? It was perfect.
So you mentioned your neck injury. You came back and then turned heel, which, as you look back at it, should you have been a heel then? Because you were pretty over with the fans after the neck.
Oh my God. If you were to ask my mom and dad that, they both would start crying. They had stuff, letters written in from fans that were going to, they'd touch my picture before they go out to battle and things like that, bro. So yeah, absolutely, yes, I was supposed to be a baby face. And when they made me heel, it killed my mom and dad. And we knew there that was not good. But what do you say? Yeah, Eric, no. I'm not going to do that, Eric.
Yeah, who was behind this whole storyline? Is this like Eric? Is it Russo? Is it you coming up with stuff? I mean, who came up with
it? At this stage, I lost all leverage. I lost all leverage. Like I said, this is right. This is the last. I'm almost positive this is our last pay-per-view. And it's Vancouver, Canada. And everybody left here knowing that something was definitely not good, you know. And then we show up at the Panama City thing, and it was, you know, it was us. We saw WWE semis, WWF semis, and knew it was not good that we saw those.
Now, did you take a buyout from Time Warner? Could you have stayed and collected money? What was your decision at that point?
I had a tonny from the thing they called a computer, and it was new, it was fresh, and of course, everybody believed they heard, oh God, Bagwell's hard to deal with. They never had a chance to really meet me, you know, back there, but to meet me at WWF, they were more, I was there 2 weeks. How many people do you think I could piss off in 2 weeks? Well, I just left the company I was with for 11 years. I mean, are you kidding? Hey, that's five bosses. So that's not easy to do, but every bullet I dodged, I caught it at the end here. It was crazy. But yeah, at this stage here, it was over with. It was down to a little box we were checking into with our fingerprint before like a certain time. And if the line was long, it didn't go through one finger and all that. It got down to that deep, bro. And that's when I knew, I was like, our problem ain't we're late. Our problem is we need some better storylines here, you know, but nobody could say that. So you just did what they told you.
So while we're talking about family, there's a story that I've heard you share about your father and a gun. Do you mind sharing the quick version of that? Because it's entertaining, but it does have a happy ending from what you've said.
Just a quick run through. I've said a bunch, but just a family fight over the big business going down, and he goes for the gun and, you know, kind of has the gun pointed at us. And I'm like, hey, man, look, put the gun down before you kill somebody or whatever. And I'm at the stage where I've lost it. I'm flipped. I mean, you know, pull trigger. You know, I mean, it's whatever. Whatever you're going to do, do it. Let's just do it. I mean, I'm at that point. So the doorbell rings in the middle of all that. So it's the cable guy, go figure. Not Jim Carrey, but it's the cable guy. So my mom goes out with him to try to, you know, get him to his job and everything. Well, dad had sent me to get all the keys out of the car so I was leaving. This is alcohol-free, drug-free. This is straight up just, you're just losing your ass and you snapped. And so I got the keys out of the cars, and as I came back in, though, he was dragging my mom through the window and was shooting at the tires. And when he did that, the cable guy that I saw, you know, he watched and saw it and embarrassed me. So I ran, got the gun by her back, and at first it ended up just making a point to just kill him. But he missed forearm, and he's got stuff in his forearm now, someplace. But we're like best friends now, so just, you know, just crazy. But it's just the way the kind of family I was raised in.
Now, what'd you think of David Arquette being involved at this time?
David's a great guy, dude. He's a great guy. At this time, I didn't quite get it. Nobody did, and they blame our failure on that. They blame that we went down because of putting those guys like this, like David, that were really not wrestling stars, you know. And I was wondering if I was kicking out there, and I was like, but Arquette, I think, is doing the wrestling thing now. He's with it now.
So. Yeah, he's been working some indies, making some appearances.
Good.
I mean, the guy loves the business. You know, you can't deny that.
That's what I'm saying. He obviously enjoys it regardless. So he's something's gone back after. So if he's up to that speed, go for it. You know, at this time, I disagreed with it. I mean, we need a Goldberg, a Lex Luger, a Sting. We didn't need a David Arquette.
That was a pretty good spot there. Double blockbuster.
Double blockbuster.
Did you ever hurt yourself doing that?
I never did. Never hurt myself during that. And that's post broke neck. So that's 10 years after my broke neck. Excuse me, it's 3 years after my broke neck. That right there.
What a good son getting his mom down from the forklift.
What mom? I mean, who wouldn't get their mother down out the forklift?
That's true. And they had her tied to that, correct? I think they had her tied to the back of it. Oh, there you go. Her wrists were tied to it.
Release your mother from the forklift.
Was that the first time you had brought her down from a forklift?
Believe it or not, yes.
Okay, good.
I'm about to say, God, that's a good question, though, because the lumber yard and all that, you know.
Well, yeah, so she was pretty badass in the family business, right?
Oh, that was nothing to her. There's not a girl back then that would have gone that high. She was in that forklift. She didn't care.
Yeah.
No, it was cool.
How'd you think watching that match back? It's probably been a few years since you saw that.
It was good. It reminded me of my mom being able to be a part of the business and have fun and just be her travel with me. And the main thing it did, which wasn't so good, is it let her see that all the rumors that she was hearing wasn't true. She ended up being the one getting us the heat. Like, she'd be like, what? And I've got her mouth shut, covered, quiet. So it ended up being like, once she figured out that, her boy wasn't doing these things that she was even hearing about, and she can't turn her computer on, that she obviously, there was something I was obviously, doing wrong. And when she saw it wasn't, then she got mad. And I was like, Mom, you can't. Yes, I'm having to cover her mouth to keep the heat off of us. It brought back a lot of memories, man. It's a lot of memories. I said, that was the end. I really think, prove me wrong, somebody, but I think it was our very last pay-per-view.
The match was good. It was entertaining. The fans were into it. You know, I think a lot of times, sometimes people will say, oh, well, WCW put so-and-so's mom on a pole, and that's why they went out of business. Look, this was entertaining. It's an entertaining. This wasn't the main event for the world title. It was meant to be entertaining.
Pulling a Coors Light truck in and spraying Coors Light, a woman up on a fork. I mean, they're both as crazy as you want them to be. So. Of wrestling.
And what I always tell people too is if this sucked, then people wouldn't be talking about it 20 years later, right?
There you go.
That's right. Well, hey, thanks for joining us to watch this match and having some laughs and sharing some stories. And this was fantastic. Thanks so much.
Wow, it was good. It was good. Thank you very much.
So, Tom, no matter how many times you hear about this match or rewatch it, like, we just have, and nothing compares because the gimmick and aftermath is just so crazy, even by today's storytelling. We got to thank Buff for joining us. He was great. I'll be honest. I had no clue whether or not he was going to want to talk about this match, but he was willing to, and that was fantastic. So, Tom, I will let you kick us off with the aftermath.
Yeah. I thought of all the mothers on a pole or forklift matches, this was one of my favorite.
It's a very short list. But it's a great list. So
yeah. Well, and it was, I actually didn't think it was that bad, and we'll get into that later. I think you and I are going to probably disagree on that. But first and foremost, Buff was a great sport for watching this with us. 100%. The crowd was hot for Canyon as a heel. The guy was an underrated talent, both on the mic and in the ring. I liked them fighting in the crowd to start the match. It made you forget about this whole ridiculous stipulation for a minute. Mark Madden was great on commentary. Now, I am a bit biased. He's a Pittsburgh guy. I'm a Pittsburgh guy. I grew up listening to him on sports radio. Had the chance to meet him one time, actually right around this time. I was probably about 16 years old and just BS'd with him while we were both waiting for a table at a restaurant. Really nice guy. Thought he was really good on commentary for WCW. And he had this line he kept saying during the match. He kept saying that Judy would be Canyon's Kimberly, which I thought was a great line, because the step of the match was obviously that Judy would then become Canyon's manager or valet or whatever we want to call her. I did my best transitioning from asking Buff about shooting his father to then inquiring about the David Arquette run-in. I have a feeling that's not the last time on the payoff. We're going to have some awkward transitions, but we like to cover a whole bunch of stuff within a 10, 15, 20 minute match. Buff said a couple times he thought this might have been WCW's last pay-per-view. They actually had seven more after this, and Buff wrestled on five of those. In fairness to Buff, I think everyone involved with WCW at this time has really tried hard to remember as little as possible from this era, so we'll certainly give him a few, give him a pass on this. Jeff, what'd you think of the match?
Yeah, where to begin? It's just such an infamous match. I had no reason to really rewatch it or revisit it except for this. And, you know, people, of course, talk about it. So I went in with an open mind. I really tried to get into this match. That didn't happen. I tried. You know, I would pay attention and then hear like Judy Bagwell screaming from the forklift and I'd want to turn it off. There was the near fall about, you know, almost close to the end. Got me excited, but then David Arquette came out, and so that also did not get me very excited. I do have a positive takeaway, though. I'll save it for when we kind of share our scores shortly here, but I will say that I did very much enjoy Buff just wandering, actually prior to the match, wandering backstage, just screaming for his mom, trying to find her. That had me laughing pretty good, actually. And so, yeah, Tom, your thoughts?
Have you ever had your mother tied to a forklift and had to get her off before? That's what I thought. So, you know, let's not be too hard on Buff here. Look, I got nothing else for you, man. I mean, this is just WCW in 2000. So let's go to what Wade Keller said. What did the Torch have to say about this match?
Yeah, I'm going to try and read this without laughing. And so here we go. I'm sure he really enjoyed writing this at the time too. So here we go. But Buff Bagwell beat Chris Canyon in 6 minutes, 43 seconds. Canyon said he searched the entire, quote, second-rate country of Canada, end quote, to find a pole that could support Judy, but he couldn't find one, so he attached her to a forklift instead. Oh, yeah, okay. The five-minute mark, Canyon hit the Canyon Cutter. Buff kicked out. Dallas Page music played, and out came David Arquette. Buff threw some lame clothesline. Arquette hit Buff with a plastic hard hat. I'm not making this up. This is what it says. Somehow Buff managed to kick out after that. Buff clotheslined both Canyon and Arquette. Buff then gave Arquette and Canyon a double blockbuster. He then covered Canyon for the win. Buff lowered Judy from the forklift and untied her arms and then hugged and kissed her. After the match, Canyon gave Arquette a Canyon Cutter for letting him down. One star. Tom?
I disagree. I thought it was better than one star.
Oh, here. Twitter's going to love you for that, buddy. Okay.
Look, here, let me state my case. The fans were into the match. Okay? It wasn't that long. And ultimately, the good guy unties his mom from a forklift. So it's got a happy ending.
Right.
All right? But, you know, we do things a little differently here at the payoff. We don't rank the overall match or give stars based on the quality of the match. We give our 1 to 10 payoff score. It incorporates the storyline, the build, the crowd, and really whatever else we feel is important to the enjoyment of the match we're covering and the payoff of it. So it's not scientific, but we're each going to share our score. You can share your score on Twitter using hashtag the payoff. And Jeff, I'm going to let you go first here, man. What did you have for the payoff score?
Yeah, I said it. Boy, I just try not to sigh so much. You know, I said it a little bit ago. I think there was at least, you know, one positive takeaway because, you know, while the match was okay at best and the gimmick was, well, it was bad. Buff, like you said, I will give you credit. Buff did save his mother and defended her honor. And for that, I have to give this match a hard 3. I did get some good laughs, like I said, out of Buff running around looking for his mom. The suspension of disbelief had me laughing pretty good when, you know, he saw his mom on the TV up on the forklift getting wheeled out there, and just the, apparently that's what sets Buff off. And so I could get that. So I, again, like you said, Tom, haven't been in that situation, so who knows? But yeah, I'm going to stick with the hard 3 on that one. Tom, what about your payoff score?
So I've got the payoff at a 3.5. All right, I guess I did like this a little better than you did. I didn't think it was horrible.
Half a point better than me, really. Yeah, good job.
So ironically, but maybe not so ironically, Buff and Canyon were both sent home by management following this match. So Buff's star seemingly was starting to fade at this point with whoever was in control. According to our friends at cagematch.net, in 1999, Buff wrestled 83 times and won about 75% of the time. Now, here in 2000, he wrestled 59 times and won just over half of the time. Jeff, as we head to the finish on this week's episodes, do you have any closing thoughts about this infamous match?
Yeah, I really had to rack my brain for this one, but I'll just say a terrible gimmick, you know, that everyone, it goes down in history for that. Okay match, you know, it was fine. And I think the biggest takeaway for me is that only wrestling can make the love between a mother and son stronger. So this was not a 5-star classic by any means, but it's hard to argue where it stands in the history of sports entertainment, because here we are, you know, almost 19 years later, talking to Buff about it.
It was fun. And, you know, we're going to hit you with all kinds of different stuff. And this was a fun episode. It was a fun match. It was fun to hear Buff talking about his mom being on a forklift 19 years later. I think he had a good laugh. We had a good laugh. We hope you had a good laugh. Thank you for joining us, whether this was your first time or joining us again. Like we said at the beginning, we're going to do our absolute best to deliver a great show for you every single week. We look forward to you having us and us having you every Monday morning with a brand new episode. And we're both excited for next week's episode. It definitely gets us back to the all-time classic realm. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm excited. Fans can look forward to, we just decided before this, we're going to throw out some spoilers every Sunday now. So fans can look forward to that.
Well, we're going to drop hints. We're not going to do spoilers.
That's spoilers.
We're going to drop some, are they Easter eggs? Is that what they are?
We got to build a little bit here. I know, just like we say, we're going to build. It's going to be a 24-hour build, so it'll be all right.
Yeah, so Sunday night we'll drop like an image or a little bit of a teaser. We'll see if you can guess what the actual match is going to be based on that. And then every Monday morning, new episode. And again, if you like what you're hearing, we'd appreciate it if you'd hit subscribe, you'd give us 5 stars, you'd tell your friends, and then make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram for all kinds of engagement and polls and fun stuff. That's at Payoff Pod. Again, it's at Payoff Pod. So with that, thank you for supporting supporting us, listening. Episode number 2, it's in the books. This has been Tom, Jeff. This is The Payoff.